Something feels different. It could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Many of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Brown's for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your...
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
First pitch coming up here in the top of inning number one as Landon Russell steps in against the lefty Cade Davis. And the first pitch misses up high, ball one. And we are underway for a Sunday afternoon baseball game between Bristol and Burlington. Second pitch from Davis, lifted foul and out of play. So Landon Russell is the leadoff man for the Stateliners. We saw him last night. And he hit in the five spot. Went 2-for-4 with a couple singles and two strikeouts. 1-1 from Davis. Fouled out of play again onto the football field, and it's 1-2. Some information real quick about the starter, Cade Davis. He's a two-way player, pitches and hits a little bit. A lefty, 19 years old, from George Washington University in his freshman season. Just finished that up. The 1-2 to Russell. Strike three, swinging, and a good start for the Stateliners as Russell down on strikes. Quickly, Andrew, why don't you give us our weather report for tonight? We have got just a beautiful day and what is maybe one of the hottest days of the year thus far here in Bristol.
Yeah, 81 degrees. It's going to be down to about 76 degrees, partly cloudy. Couldn't ask for a better day.
Kenny Mallory Jr. hitting from the left side. Second game for him here in Bristol this weekend. He hit in the number two spot last night as well. Had two base hits and a couple ground outs. Also picked up an RBI on a sacrifice fly as the 1-0 misses outside. Davis has had a strong season thus far for the Stateliners as the 2-0 fouled out of play onto the hill. Of course, burying the lead a little bit. It's Father's Day, and so got a lot of dads and kids here tonight for a little baseball. 2-1 pitch from Cade Davis. Here it comes. Breaking ball, caught the inside corner, and we're even. Davis, a 2.57 ERA thus far. Tried one of the, looked like a similar pitch there on 2-2, but it missed the zone, and now we're full. Davis has thrown seven innings coming into today, five strikeouts to three walks, only two earned runs in those seven innings, and two base hits. Payoff, fouled off, and we'll do it again, out towards the beer garden down the left field line. We know we had some family members of Kenny Mallory Jr. Listening last night. Here's the 3-2 pitch lifted into center field. Austin, a few steps back, looks up and puts it away for out number two. That's two up, two down, and a good start for Cade Davis.
Number 32,
So here's Kobe Croft. We did not see him last night. He's the designated hitter in this lineup for the Sock Puppets. First pitch to him. Strike called. Quickly, the defense for the State Liners. Cade Davis on the mound. Dalton Bargo behind the plate. Jake Cooper at first. Seth Buchanan at second. Nick Arias at short. Joe Kinneberg at third. The 0-1. Hit towards third, but foul. 0-2 the count. The rest of the defense for Bristol. Easton Ruley, normally an infielder, is playing in left today. Jordan Austin out in center field. And Austin Heberle is a State Liner right fielder once again. And again, if you missed in pregame, this is only a seven-inning contest. Only seven innings on Sundays in the Appy League. The 0-2. There's another foul ball. Seen quite a few foul balls here as these Sock Puppets are trying to time up Mr. Cade Davis, the big lefty on the mound. No balls and two strikes. Two outs, no score, top of one. 0-2 upstairs. We saw Bargo in the lineup last night, the designated hitter. Tonight, he's in the lineup behind the plate. Here's the 1-2. Golfed out towards third. Kinneberg on a hop. Collects, throws across, and there's an easy 1-2-3 inning for Cade Davis. He picks up a strikeout, a flyout, and a ground out. Just trying to go a little variety there in the first inning. So it's 1-2-3. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. That one's pretty easy to tally up. State Liners will look to get on the board when we return here for the bottom of the first. You are listening to State Liners Baseball on the State Liners Baseball Network.
And paving the way to the future, where generations teach each other, where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune, where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together, where you can really get into the music, at the birthplace of country music. Discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Scoreless top of the first for Burlington. It's knotted up at zero here as Bristol looks to get on the board here in the bottom of the first. And you may be wondering, why Sock Puppets? Well, Andrew's here with a little bit of history about the professional team from over in Burlington. Andrew?
Yeah, we can talk through it a little bit. Baseball's always been kind of about, there's several teams with socks in their name. But Burlington, North Carolina, where this team is from, they actually at one point had 80 hosiery mills. So they were making different kind of pantyhose, that kind of thing. Once rayon became the synthetic material that they decided to use, that area for some reason took a liking to it. And that's kind of how they got their name. Some of the big names that have come through the Sock Puppet and Burlington organization. One of them that's most notable to me was Jim Thome. He was actually my first baseball card. I got him in a box of Kellogg cereal. I remember tearing into the box and finding five baseball cards, and he was the first one that I recognized. So that was a fun kind of little piece of history there.
Sure. Well, the Burlington program used to be the Royals, so they had quite a few Royals come through the system, including current names like Salvador Perez. First pitch fouled off out of play as Jordan Austin steps in from the left-hand side. Austin is one of the top hitters in the Appy League. Last night, grabbed himself a two RBI single at a crucial point in the ballgame, 0-1, slapped foul behind the plate. Starter on the mound for Burlington is Howell Polk. Polk is a right-handed pitcher, 0-1 on the season, 7.94 ERA. He pitches for High Point University. 0-2, Austin hits one high in the sky. Going out is the shortstop Crawford, who wants it. Oh, it's the left fielder, Mallory Jr., who calls him off. Much easier play for the left fielder coming in than the shortstop going out.
Yeah, he was a little behind it, but was able to kind of catch up and get underneath it and safely corral that one.
So one up, one down, and here's Seth Buchanan. We told you quite a bit about him last night as he made his debut here at home. First pitch on the way from Polk. Strike one to Buchanan. Now, Buchanan is a local kid from Lebanon High School here in Virginia. Won a state championship just within the last week or so as the 0-1 misses up high. Had a single in his first game with the State Liners. Hit about 457 on the season in high school. And was just a part of a dominant Lebanon team. As a 1-1 up and in, ball two. And last night we had Seth's parents listening in on the broadcast. And I kind of have a feeling that tonight they may not be listening. Now, if they are, I would be very impressed as the 2-1 pitch misses the zone. One of their other sons, Matthew, pitches for the Virginia Cavaliers, also known as the Wahoos, down there in Omaha tonight. 3-1, Buchanan a swing and a miss. I was looking to see when. Oh, that game's already over. So TCU beat Virginia 4-3. So Virginia's out, actually, of the playoffs. So since that game's over, we might have the Buchanans on the broadcast tonight. 3-2 pitch nearly hit Seth, and he'll jog down to first to be the first base runner of the game.
Yeah, there were two of those pitches in that at bat that he had to dodge, and thankfully he was able to do it and walk on down there to first base.
Here's Dalton Bargo. Bargo, we told you, is behind the plate today. Just an impressive prospect. Plays for the University of Missouri. Hit .279 for the Tigers in the college season. 5 homers, 23 RBI. So quite the season for him. First pitch grounded foul. Nearly took out Coach Kennedy there in the first base coach's box. I referenced last night on the broadcast, we actually have coaches' boxes now. So I can actually say it was near the coach's box rather than the invisible ones that we used to have. Runner on first is Buchanan. One out here in a scoreless game. Bottom one. 0-1 breaking ball from Polk misses downstairs. It's 1-1. Bargo leading the team in at bats with 39. He's got 11 hits, hitting .282 thus far. Here's a pitch from Polk. This one lifted high in the sky out towards center field. 4 sock puppets converging and hits the right fielder, Russell, who puts it away. The two balls that have been put in play by Bristol have sort of been in similar places, one to left and one to right, and the sock puppets played it well.
Yeah, Buchanan was kind of in a tough spot right there because it was hit just far enough that he needed to take a look at second, but not far enough that he felt comfortable being where he was when it was caught. He hustled back to get to be standing back on first base.
So here's Nick Strong. Strong hitting .385 on the year. One of the three catchers on this State Liner roster. And I'll tell you, that's a loaded position for this team. As Strong, I think he went around, and they'll call the first pitch strike one. Strong, here's your trivia bit for the Appy League for 2023. Strong collected the first hit of the 2023 Appy League season, and it was a homer against Princeton on the very first day of the Appy League season. And how about add another hit to his total, as here's one out to left. Two on, two out. Nick Strong earns a base hit. Tempted to not go with the strongly hit out the left or a strong swing or, you know. How many punts can we use on his last name?
Yeah, you got to shy away from it in the early innings.
We'll get to
it eventually.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Here's Nick Arias, State Liner shortstop. Ground ball towards short. Crawford Fields goes the short distance to second. That's Blowers. And that will be a fielder's choice to end the inning. So the State Liners get a little traffic on the base paths, but cannot get one across. We're scoreless through one. We'll be back with the second inning right after this. You're listening to the State Liners Baseball Network.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Browns for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Top of two, scoreless first here from Bristol as we're ready to go. Troy McGirt hitting from the right side. First pitch misses up high. We did not see McGirt yesterday for the Sock Puppets, but in there at first base in this one as Davis misses the zone 2-0. We've already had a few messages on our text thread today. Be sure to send us a text wherever you're watching from, 276-285-8780. As a 2-0 to McGirt, misses low, and it's 3-0. Again, that number one more time, 276-285-8780. Send us a message. Let us know who you are, where you're watching from. We've already heard from Aaron and Stephanie Buchanan, who are on their way home from Omaha today. 3-0. Misses entirely, and it's a four-pitch walk as McGirt disposes of his bat and as well as his shin guard, and he's down to first as the first base runner for the Sock Puppets. So, again, the over in Omaha, Virginia has been the first team eliminated from the College World Series. So the Buchanans, who were there watching the older brother of Seth Buchanan play in the College World Series, they're on their way back and tuned in. So we appreciate you. As, again, the first pitch misses to Carson Crawford, a new player in the lineup that we did not see last night. So quite a few new faces for Burlington. The pitch from Davis. There's a strike as a swing and a miss by Crawford. Crawford plays for Cal Berkeley. That's quite a ways from here, out in California. 234 average this year, 12 homers for the Golden Bears. 1-1. There's a strike on the corner. Davis has found it a little bit after struggling. One ball and two strikes. Davis brings it off the plate, and we're even. How about that middle name for Crawford?
Carson Doolittle.
Doolittle Crawford.
Well, sounds like he hasn't done a little at Cal Berkeley.
He's done a lot.
12 home runs.
2-2 off the plate. Kind of cool here. We see that his grandfather's last name was Doolittle. So that's and he attended Cal as well. So how about keeping it in the family? Always love the history of names and why people get named what they get named. Full count. Strike three swinging. There's a second strike out of the ball game for Cade Davis, who has found a little bit of a groove. He walked McGirt on four pitches, but comes back against Crawford to get the first out of the second. So here's Evan Applewick. Applewick is also a new face in the lineup tonight. Didn't see him yesterday. This is his second season with the Sock Puppets. First pitch from Davis. Misses away. Applewick started his Burlington career last year with a 15-game hit streak. This year for Miami of Ohio, the Redhawks, he played in 49 games and led the team in walks. So good on-base guy. 1-0 fouled out of play. 387 on-base percentage. That's not bad at the college level at all. Was originally a member of the Indiana Hoosiers baseball team, but transferred over. Big prospect from Florida. 1-1 off the plane outside. We're starting to get your messages, folks. We'll get to you here shortly. Again, be sure to let us know wherever you're watching from. We told you last night we've got a 50-state map up here in the United States. We're trying to fill that thing up, so be sure to let us know where you're watching from. 2-1, there's a strike from Davis, and the count's even. Really like what we've seen from Davis thus far. Outside of that four-pitch walk to McGirt, he's been all over the zone. Davis takes a peek at first. His 2-2 lifted out the right. Heberle going back to the track, and it's out of here. There's a home run for Evan Applewick. We talked about that power from Cal, and he just put one over the fence here in Bristol.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if he's on the West Coast or the East Coast. He can hit him over the fence, and that's a tall order here at Boyce Cox Field with these tall fences out in the outfield.
So Applewick goes oppo. You might call it Oppowick. And the Sock Puppets lead it 2-0 here in the second, and that's going to bring out the pitching coach, Ted Power, for a quick chat.
This is one of those I think you're saying, calm down, it's okay. We'll get past this one, and you've had a strong outing so far.
And here I had just said we were really impressed with what Davis had done, but, you know, I don't know that that was a bad pitch. I think Applewick just did what he could, and let's see, it's 310 down the right field line. We see a 345 marker. It was about, what, halfway between? So, quick math.
330.
330-ish. And it probably would have gone, it was a little bit over the fence, so we'll call it 340 feet. They do, I think there is a Twitter account for the Appy League called @AppyLeagueData, and I think they put out a video of every home run, including launch angle, distance, and all that. So we'll be interested to see. We guessed three. What do you think? What's your guess?
I was guessing 330.
330? All right. I'm going to say maybe a little. I'll go 340. We'll see what we get on Appy League data. All right. Here's Tommy Walker, the catcher. First pitch off the home run from Davis. Misses the zone. It's 1-0. Walker was in the lineup last night. A catcher from App State. As 1-0 called a strike. Walker only played in 5 games for the Mountaineers this year. 14 at-bats. Had a pair of hits. 1-1. There's a strike. First home run of the series. Didn't have one last night. That ball well struck by Applewick. The 1-2. Ground ball towards short. This is fielded on the backhand by Arias. Whoa, he made that look easy. Ball deep in the hole, fielded it on the backhand, and what a throw from Arias to retire Walker. 2 down in the top of the second. So here's Kevin Blowers, and again, another new face in the Sock Puppets lineup that was not in the lineup last night. First pitch from Davis, called ball 1. 2-0 our score, top of the second after the 2-run shot by Applewick. Here's one lifted to center. Blowers hits it right to Austin on the run, and there's out number 3. So good job by Davis after the homer to get out of the inning quickly, but that shot out to right field gives the Sock Puppets a 2-run lead. We'll be back with the bottom of the second where we'll find out if the Stateliners can cut into the lead or tie it when we return on the Stateliners Baseball Network.
Located in the Highlands of Virginia, Emory and Henry College has devoted itself since 1836 to the belief that education can have a transformative effect on an individual, a place, and ultimately the wider world. The college is consistently ranked among the nation's best private liberal arts institutions, and their faculty have earned more state and national awards than any other college in Virginia. Learn more at www.ehc.edu, and thanks to Emory and Henry for being a Stateliner sponsor.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Bottom of the second inning, Sock Puppets lead it 2-0 after the big home run by Evan Applewick. A two-run shot gives Burlington the lead, and the Stateliners will look to sort of dig into this lead here, as it'll be Kinneberg, Heberle, and Cooper, the first three hitters in the bottom of the second. Let's catch up on a couple messages here. Got a message from Johnny Stevens' mom. Stevens is a right-handed pitcher for the Stateliners. His mom, Stacy, is watching in Ashland, Kentucky. Hannah is watching from Naperville, Illinois, and Illinois is a new state on our board. So, Andrew, you get to color it in. Shout out to Illinois. Said rooting for number 53, and that is Nick Strong, who plays at Illinois State. So that makes perfect sense. So hello, Hannah, and also to Jennifer Ruley, the I'm assuming mother of Easton Ruley, who's watching from the West Coast. First pitch to Kinneberg, misses the zone. It's 1-0. Polk in the windup and misses again. It's 2-0. Now, on Father's Day, you had to know that Joe Kinneberg was going to be in the lineup with his dad, Bill Kinneberg, the manager of this team. 2-0. Kinneberg fouls it off. Kinneberg's been a bit of a he's approaching legend status here early in the season. He was our Stateliner of the game in the first home game. The second home game of the year, he hit a walk-off. So he's having quite the start to his summer. 2-1. Kinneberg grounds one to third. Tough play. Applewick, who just hit the homer, throws it over the head of the first baseman, McGirt. Kinneberg, with a late slide there at first, got in there safely.
Yeah, that's one of those as you're running down through there. You don't know what's happening to your left, so you just kind of make sure to get in there when you see that first baseman starting to react, and that throw was just airmailed.
So Kinneberg reaches on the error by Applewick, so... Hey, you hit a two-run shot, they'll live with a throwing error in the next inning. So here's a good start for Bristol, as here's Aiden Heberle. They check on Kinneberg, who was not even hardly off the bag over at first. Heberle, also one of the members of the Missouri Tigers here for the Stateliners. There's the pitch, and it missed. It looked like, was it, what, 1-0? Yeah. All right, you got the home run call here from Appy League Data. 343, I guess 340, so I got you on that one.
Yeah, you did. That fence must bend
That's
a little bit quicker
fence.
Out there.
That's a tall fence, too, and you got to think about where it landed, too. So, 1-0, off the plate to Heberle.
Yeah, it did almost hit that telephone line that's servicing the street behind the fence, not the light poles that are here for the field.
I'll check on the runner at first. Kinneberg back in there safely. Two balls, no strike. The count to Heberle. And another throw over. Ooh, close play, and they pegged him out. Oh, Kinneberg punches the base in frustration. So all that hard work, getting dirty over there at first, and he's picked off a first base by Polk.
Yeah, McGirt gave a really nice he may have sold that one just a little bit on his theatrics after the tag. He popped up like he knew he had him.
Looked like a low throw, but he was able to get it in there. So Kinneberg washed off the bases. 2-0, skips away, and that's unfortunate here because now you've got a 3-0 count to Heberle, and you might be a pitch away from having two on and no out. What do you think? What do you think Joe's dad, Bill, had to say as Heberle takes his base when Joe ran off the field into the dugout. You think his dad had any words for him on Father's Day?
Maybe not. I think he knew that his son was upset by that punch to first base there.
So Heberle reaches on a four-pitch walk, and here's Jake Cooper. Now, Cooper had a great night last night. Nobody could get him out. He was hit by a pitch, singled, and then walked twice, and had two runs in the ballgame as well. First pitch hit deep to right field, chasing Russell back on the track in a running catch right in front of the State Liners sign out there in right field. So well struck by Cooper, but the Sock Puppets have finally been able to get him out.
Yeah, they were able to track down that one at just about the warning track. It was a well-hit ball, and it was still kind of tailing towards that foul ball line, but he was able to catch up to it.
So here's the number nine hitter, Easton Ruley. We had a shout-out for him in our text thread earlier today. See what he can do here. Ruley, the left fielder, first pitch to him. Swing and a miss. Ruley also caught the ceremonial first pitches earlier today. We had a few decent ones anyways. Yeah. There were three individuals that threw out the first pitch, which I guess would be the first, second, and third pitch, technically. 0-1 to count. Heberle at first. Ruley. And he'll lift one to center. Routine fly ball for Gates as he puts the glove up, squeezes it for out number three. And a quiet second inning after the pickoff there of Kinneberg at first base. And Burlington has the lead 2-0 through two innings. We've got the third inning coming up for you next on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown, where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Through two innings here, the Sock Puppets lead it 2-0. The big play in the ball game was a two-run shot by Evan Applewick. 343-foot home run out to right center. And Cade Davis back out on the mound to try to limit any damage here. So we are ready to go here for inning number three. It's the 9-1-2 hitters scheduled. Sam Gates, Landon Russell, and Kenny Mallory Jr. First pitch from Davis, misses upstairs. It's 1-0. Again, Gates hitting in the 9 spot. Did not see him last night. Now, Gates is from George Washington. 1-0. Hit towards second. Here's a nice play by Buchanan. How about it? Buchanan over to Cooper. And that was a nice play from the incoming freshman at VMI. So Gates grounds out to Buchanan. And we were going to get on that George Washington train there. Gates and Davis are teammates. And college, the pitcher and the hitter.
I thought you were going a different direction. I was thinking National Treasure.
Oh,
the
man.
Movie. I know.
Dang, I should have gone there. First pitch to Russell called strike. Now, what was his name? The main character? Cage's character? I know it was Gates. Ben? No.
I think it may be Ben.
0-1 off the plate. I was just thinking Ben because of Benjamin Franklin and, you know. Now, how many of those movies are there?
I think there's three now.
Yeah, I think we watched them all in one day one time. 1-1 lifted to center field, and there's a bloop base hit for the leadoff man, Landon Russell. He's the first base runner here in the third.
Benjamin Franklin Gates is his name.
What?
It is. Yeah.
I had the full name. Benjamin Franklin Gates. How about that? All right, Kenny Mallory Jr. is the sock puppet left fielder. He flew out to the center fielder last time up. This time he's got a runner on base in front of him. First pitch. Here's a fly ball to left. That's Rooley out there fighting the skies and puts it away for the second out here in the third.
You could say nothing unruly happened out there, I guess.
Nothing unruly happened. That is exactly right. See, that's why I like having you here, because it takes everything in me to call the play, make my notes, and things like that. You just get to sit there and think about, what can I say about this fly ball? And you're really adding to the broadcast. Really appreciate that. All right, two outs, one on. Russell at first. And here's Kobe Croft. Croft grounded out to Kinneberg at third in his first chance. Davis looking to put up another zero here in the third. The 1-0 from Davis. We got a balk called. Looked like a good pitch. I was waiting for the home plate umpire, Mark D'Amelio, to call strike. He never did, but apparently it was a balk that was called on the pitcher. So now Russell up to second. So 1-0. That's off the plate, despite the frame job by Bargo to try to pull it over. Croft, a member of the USC Upstate team down in South Carolina, was originally at Reedley College, a community college out in California. 2-0, runner going to third. Bargo throws down and off the glove of Kinneberg, but I think he would have been safe anyways.
Yeah, I think he was trying to make something happen too quick there and was trying to get that glove down before he had the ball in the webbing.
At least he stopped the ball before it went out into left field. That might have scored a run. So 3-0 the count as Russell has advanced up to third base. Croft, an RBI chance here with two outs. First offering here to him, and an easy base hit to center field, and that stolen base paid off as the Sock Puppets come in to score, and they lead it 3-0.
Yeah, with two outs, making sure you get that runner in a position that it's not even – you don't have to worry about a sacrifice fly or that anything like that. It isn't an option, so get him over there where a nice, easy hit gets him across the plate.
And it's the little things in baseball, right? It's Russell reaching first but advancing on the balk and then the stolen base. Really aggressive. I mean, you don't force a balk, I don't suppose, but it's the little things that get you into scoring position where a base hit like that can give you a run rather than it just being a non-hurtful hit. So 3-0 our score here in the top of the third. 2-0 the count to Troy McGirt, who was the first base runner of the ball game for Burlington back in the second and the first run of the game. He walked and scored on the home run by Applewick. 2-0 from Davis. Swing and a miss. 2-1 the count. Last night we saw several Elon players in this Burlington lineup. Here's another one, McGirt, the 22-year-old sophomore. Runner goes on a delayed steal. Throw down is in time. Did they get the tag? No. Courtney Clements out there says that Buchanan unable to get the tag. It looked like Croft kind of did his secondary, and he wasn't going to steal, and then decided to take off to try to get the catcher off guard.
So a tertiary move.
Yeah, that comes after secondary. That would be correct. See, that's why you're here again.
Exactly. I mean, a little vocabulary.
Exactly what I needed. 2-2, the stolen base for Croft. Here's a pitch. Off the fists and off the ankle, I believe, of McGirt as it squirted out to the pitcher. So 2-2 again as they'll toss the ball off to the side. Burlington has certainly been the aggressor here thus far. They got the home run. They've got another run in on a stolen base and a base hit. Croft adds the second stolen base in the inning. And they've got a runner in scoring position. But 2-2 the count to McGirt as Davis looks to limit the damage. The pitch, swing and a miss up high, and that will do it for the third. But the Sock Puppets add a run in inning number three. They lead it 3-0. State Liners offense needs to get rolling here. We'll see what they can do when we come back for the bottom of inning number three. You are listening to the State Liners Baseball Network.
Located in the highlands of Virginia, Emory and Henry College has devoted itself since 1836 to the belief that education can have a transformative effect on an individual, a place, and ultimately the wider world. The college is consistently ranked among the nation's best private liberal arts institutions, and their faculty have earned more state and national awards than any other college in Virginia. Learn more at www.ehc.edu, and thanks to Emory and Henry for being a Stateliner sponsor.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
Bottom of three, Burlington leads it 3-0. We need a little offense here from the State Liners. And good chance we see some, as it's the top of the order. 1-2-3, Austin Buchanan Bargo. Staying in that AB range with the last names. Those are your initials.
They are my initials.
So maybe a little something good happening here in the third. I want to say hello to the parents of Aiden Heberly, who are watching from St. Genevieve, Missouri. We've had the Heberleys on before, so I knew Missouri is not a new state. But not only Aiden's parents, but his siblings, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins. Man, we got a party going on at the Heberly house, as they're watching their boy Aiden patrol right field for the State Liners. Again, folks, if you're listening, be sure to send us a text, 276-285-8780. Again, that's 276-285-8780. Let us know where you're watching from. First pitch grounded foul down the right field line by Austin. Nearly poked it over the bag there for a double. What'd you see?
The bullpen's having a little fun. One of the pitchers stood up and backhanded it and flashed the leather a little bit.
You know, you're sitting down the line in the bullpen. Any time a ball comes down, you got to get up and make something happen. 0-1, big swing and a miss by Austin. Those guys probably get bored down there.
Yeah, they don't have the kids or the older folks that at, I think it's San Francisco, that patrol and guard the
ball boys. 0-2 fouled off. It looked like it bounced off the plate and then off the shoulder of Austin in the box. So they'll get a brand new baseball. Austin flew out to left field to start the bottom of the first. Again, he's off to a great start this season. Hitting .385 coming into play today as the 0-2 off the plate. Austin picked up his third stolen base last night. He's got 10 hits across 26 at-bats. And how about the on-base percentage? .529. He gets on base every other time he steps in. 1-2 inside. And since he didn't get on base last time, you know, the law of averages would say he's going to get on base this time.
Patterns.
Big fan of patterns on in this broadcast booth. Here's the 2-2. Uh-oh. Strike three called. Austin didn't like the call, as that one must have clipped the bottom half of the zone, I suppose. So there's the first out of the third on a strikeout by Austin. And here's Seth Buchanan. Buchanan walked in the first inning, advanced to second, but was stranded there. The pitch from Polk. There's another low strike. Polk gets his sign, and he's ready to go. Swing and a miss there by Buchanan. It's 0-2. Seth only has one hit on the season. That was in his very first game as a State Liner, but this is only the fourth game he's appeared in, so he's still getting caught up after missing the first week or so. 0-2, misses outside. One down here in the third. Burlington leads it 3-0 in what is a 7-inning contest, so not quite as much time for Bristol to catch up as usual. Here's a sharp ground ball to short. Crawford. to his left, and a nice play to retire Buchanan. Two up, two down in inning number three. So here's Bargo. Bargo will hit with two outs here in the third. Bargo flew out to right field back in the first inning. Bargo's on base percentage around 356 coming into play today as the first pitch skips in.
Don't start throwing that stat around again.
The on base percentage?
Yeah.
I wasn't making any claims. 11 hits for Bargo on the season, 5 RBI. that foul ball about knocked out a sock puppet down the line there. What happens if a ball hits a sock puppet?
An actual sock puppet?
Yeah,
or you're talking about
the players? An actual sock puppet. It wouldn't hurt. I suppose if the sock puppet was active, it would hurt the hand of the person who's controlling the sock puppet. That pitch in there for a strike. Why are you shaking your head?
We're going off the rails here.
You know, but I'm just having a little fun with this sock puppet name.
I wish there was a mascot, though. That could be fun. A giant sock puppet.
They probably have one. 1-2. Bargo fouls it off. Are my kids sitting over there? Do you know where they're sitting? Foul ball there.
Let me do a little scan of the crowd here.
Yeah, for Father's Day, I've got my two boys here with my wife and Andrew's wife hanging out with us, too. Kind of hoping he comes away with a foul ball, but we'll see what happens. He's only three, so we're still teaching him. Bargo calls time. One ball, two strikes to count. Two outs in the bottom of the third. State Liner's offense has been quiet thus far. Only one hit in the ballgame. That belongs to Nick Strong, who's on deck. Bargo fouls it off. Seen a couple of those pitches fouled off at the plate. Looks like Blake Wood is on ball boy duty for the State Liners tonight since he's not in the lineup. Runs out a few fresh baseballs to the home plate umpire, Mark D'Amelio. A ball and two strikes, the pitch from Polk. Here's a ball hit down the line, and oh, it's called foul. It nearly took out Courtney Clements. What'd you see?
That was a close one.
We don't have a great angle from here, but the ball was hit right at Courtney Clements, and here comes Bill Kenneberg. Out to have a chat with Mark D'Amelio, and I'm not sure there's anything you can do at this point. And that may have been what D'Amelio told him because Kenneberg came right back to the dugout.
And I think everybody kind of here was shocked on what the call was because she was doing an athletic move to avoid being hit, and you weren't sure what she was trying to call.
She kind of reached her hands up in the air to kind of avoid it, and maybe it was just easier to keep him up there and say foul, I suppose. So 1-2 called ball two. Bargo's had a nice at bat here with two outs. He's fouled off a couple pitches with two strikes. Here's a 2-2. Bargo golfs one out to first, smothered by McGirt. The flip to Polk, and that's how you teach it. A 3-1 put out. The State Liners go 1-2-3 in the third. Not much going on. Bristol's going to need to get the bats going, but first, Burlington will have a chance to add to their lead when we come back for the top of inning number four. We'll be right back with more State Liners baseball on the State Liners Baseball Network.
For more than 85 years, Paramount Bristol has been a local landmark and cultural anchor of the Twin Cities. This year, multiple live music events are scheduled, including the Gatlin Brothers, Amy Grant, and Trace Adkins. Visit ParamountBristol.org for more information and tickets. Thanks to Paramount Bristol for being a State Liner sponsor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
All Well, we played three innings, and the Sock Puppets have three runs. The State Liners, unfortunately, have none thus far. But as we like to say around these parts, anything can happen in the Appy League. And Cade Davis is back out there for his fourth inning of work. And this time it will be the 5-6-7 hitters, Crawford, Applewick, and Walker. So Carson Crawford will get us started. Crawford struck out his first time up. And a ground ball towards third. Kenneberg fields, throws across, and there's the first out. It just hit me that we totally messed up the home run call with Applewick earlier. We were saying West Coast, but Applewick was the one from Miami.
Mm.
So Crawford was from Cal. Applewick was from Miami, Ohio. And so the whole, like, man. That whole, yep, totally missed it up.
Throw it out.
Totally mixed it up. Just get rid of that video.
Yep.
No one needs to see that video anymore. 0-1, the count to Applewick, who, again, hit the two-run shot last time. 0-1.
You could have just let me live with that, not knowing.
No.
But
see, that happens to me quite a bit, you know.
Now I get shamed.
You never have a perfect broadcast, and we're already off that here tonight. 0-2 to Applewick. Ball misses upstairs. I'm trying to see if there's any West Coast ties for this guy, but it's not looking like it, buddy.
Mm.
The 1-2. Misses inside. Counts even.
I wonder if he ever visited out
if,
there.
You know, maybe he played in a travel tournament out there and hit a home run, and then you could say that his power was West Coast to East Coast.
I'll see if I can ask him after the game.
Okay, we'll be sure to go down and chat with Evan. 2 balls, 2 strikes. The pitch from Davis. Another well-struck ball, this one down the right field line. Heberle giving chase, Cooper giving chase, and Heberle standing on the mound of the bullpen down the right field line puts it away for the second out.
Two hats were lost in that. The second baseman and Heberle both lost their hat as they, I don't know if they intentionally knocked it off to see a little bit better up there against this cloudy, kind of slightly overcast sky.
Yeah, it's almost like the sky and the baseball are similar colors, so got a lot of clouds in the sky here today in Bristol. Two outs, and here's Tommy Walker. First pitch off the plate. Walker grounded out to short last time up. Pitch from Davis. Swing and a miss by Walker. We talked last night about Walker's high school career. Played at Providence in Charlotte. They were undefeated and won the North Carolina 4-8 state championship. It's very difficult to go undefeated in baseball at any level. 1-1, skips in low. But Walker, I'm sure a big part of that team, lined a go-ahead single in the 10th inning of the state title game to help the Panthers become the first 34-0 team in state history. How about that?
Wow.
3-1, as that one off the plate. I think he'll probably, that's one of those moments, that's like, it's one of those movie moments. You grow up in the, you're in the backyard. You're just playing pretend with your brother or your sister. That's stuff that movies are made of. As now Walker earns a walk.
Not only movies, documentaries. That could be a 30 for 30.
Team going undefeated. You get the hit. Now, granted, normally when it's in your dreams, you hit the walk. It's a walk off. They were apparently the visiting team somehow. And hit it in the top of the inning, I suppose, since it was a go-ahead single.
You didn't dream of a go-ahead?
No, never really thought about having to go back out and play three more outs. Here's Kevin Blowers. Foul ball, sort of our way.
See, so, I always enjoyed that, though. I was a defensive guy.
Oh, boy.
You know, I like to flash the leather, be a little crazy out there.
You see, you get the dramatic call. You know, you're out in the backyard, and he walks it off. A single wins it. But then you've got to follow that up with, and now they'll go play defense. The 0-1 grounded to Kenneberg on the run, making it look easy from third. Kenneberg responsible for two of the three outs in the inning. The Sock Puppets get one runner on. That's Walker at first base, but can't cash in. All right, State Liners, It's time to get the bats rolling. They trail it 3-0. We'll be back with the bottom of the fourth when we return on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Need to pick up a few things after the game? Visit one of 5 Food City Bristol locations or shop online and get same-day delivery through Instacart. From frozen food, produce, or snacks, Food City is your one-stop shop for all your food needs. Thanks to Food City for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Hi everyone, Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
All right, welcome back. Bottom of the fourth. And we are still awaiting the State Liners to get on the board here as they trail Burlington 3-0. It's another good chance to let you guys know. You can send us a text message from wherever you're watching from, 276-285-8780. Again, send us a text to 276-285-8780. And let us know where you're watching from. Introduce yourself. As we've said on these broadcasts many a time, we're just here having a conversation. It just so happens that we're here at the game, and we're going to try to make you guys feel like you're at the game, too. So any insights that you have, please let us know. And we just got a message here a moment ago, so we'll get to that in just a second because that's a long message and an interesting one at that. Thank you, Allie, for your message. We'll get to that shortly. But first, we've got the bottom of the fourth to go as Nick Strong comes in for his second at bat. First pitch called strike one. Now, Strong was responsible for the only hit thus far for Bristol, a single in the first, but he was retired to end the first inning. He'll foul off the 0-1 and is quickly 0-2. Again, we talked about the Strong catchers on this Bristol roster. Nick Strong, he's got some pop, some big power. Then you've got Dalton Bargo, who's catching tonight. And then Tariq Farini, who's not in the lineup today, he's got some pop, too. He hit a home run already. So they really like their catching group that they've got on the roster. 0-2 on the way. Strong pops that one up towards us. Is it going to get out of play? Can we get a bouncer here? One hop. Oh, that was the closest we were going to get. And a young fan came away with that one. Last name Begley. Only reason I know that, it was because it was on his shirt.
He was some of the youngsters that got to go out on the field and stand with the State Liners when they were doing player introductions.
That's right. The Shelter Insurance Twins from Bristol, Tennessee Little League. 0-2 skips in.
I love it when they have a good business name like that. I remember being the Bristol School of Hair Design Pirates. Man, what a time to be alive that was.
Oh, yeah, those local sponsors on your Little League jersey. Mm-hmm. 1-2 to Strong. There's a ball hit strongly out to center. Gates on the diving catch. Hello. And he made the play, had a late break on it, but came in to retire Strong, and he can't believe it. He's standing at first base still, and he's asking, was I out? Strong is still standing at first base. I'm pretty sure I saw the home plate umpire call out, and he did. So
Strong's got a case. That is a tough play to make coming straight in at a ball that's going to land at your feet. You've got to get a dive on it without trapping it. That's a tough play, and I can see why he wanted to appeal that one.
Well, the home plate umpire is the one who made the call. I think the first base umpire had other responsibilities there, so... All right, here's Nick Arias. He reached on a fielder's choice in the first inning. Howell Polk has been pitching extremely well here as a fair ball, but it was fouled off the foot of Arias.
I've seen a lot of those tonight. I don't know if it's the way the pitchers are putting a little what pitch they're throwing, but we've seen that several times tonight.
Absolutely. Yep. So one out near in the bottom of the fourth. 3-0. Our score, Sock Puppets lead it. 1-1. Breaking ball upstairs. Arias plays for Grand Canyon University. Was the 2021 6A Desert Southwest Regional Player of the Year in high school after hitting .472. Here's a ground ball to short. Crawford takes a big hop. Sidearms to first. Two down in the fourth.
Trying to convince my wife to go to the Grand Canyon for our kind of makeup honeymoon.
You got
to
do it, man.
I know. She wants to go to the beach. She wants to go to a sandals.
We're already going to the beach in a few weeks.
That's what I keep telling her, but I just want to see the Grand Canyon once in my life.
What's she saying? Like, Grand Canyon, wow, a big valley?
Yeah. I said it has sand.
Here's Joe Kinneberg with two outs. He swings at the first pitch and misses. It's 0-1. Kinneberg did reach base in the second inning, but it was on a high throw from Applewick, who was, I think, still pumped up about his home run that he hit the previous half inning. 0-1, misses downstairs. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. We got a lot of folks on this broadcast that are out from out west. They're probably like, you're missing out. Ball and a strike. Off the plate, 2-1.
I'll appreciate any tips that get thrown into the text line.
All right, here's the new game. Here's the new game. Help Andrew convince his wife that they need to go to the Grand Canyon. If anybody has any thoughts, please shoot them to our text message thread, 2-1 foul down the line. All right, that's what we want to hear. So we got a few innings to go. We're about halfway through the ball game here. Remember, this is a 7-inning game here on Sunday. So Andrew is newly married, just about a year coming up in July. Mm-hmm. So still in that newlywed phase, 2-2. Kinneberg fouls it off out of play. So whether you've been to the Grand Canyon or not, he needs your advice, folks. Come on, help us out. How should he convince his wife to take them to the Grand Canyon for their anniversary? Man, I cannot wait for this. 2-2. Kinneberg lays off, and it's a ball. That was a borderline pitch. And
hope she doesn't listen to this, though, because...
Oh, she's not listening.
That way, I don't have to explain how I got all these good reasons for that we need to
go
to Grand Canyon.
Yeah, because you certainly couldn't come up with them on your own. 3-2. Kinneberg chops one to third. Applewick, another chance. The throw this time is low, and Kinneberg reaches on an error again. Two at-bats for Kinneberg. Two ground balls to Applewick. The first time he threw it high, the second time he threw it low. Next time it'll probably be right on line.
Just like the Three Bears. Or is it Goldilocks?
The porridge, right?
Yeah. Too hot, too cold.
Just right. All right, so yeah, I'm going to assume. Oh, someone said take her to the beach.
There we go. I guess it's settled.
And it's not your wife either. All right, two outs. Kinneberg at first, and here's Aiden Heberle. First pitch, Heberle fouls it off out of play.
If I have learned anything in the almost year of marriage, it is always listen.
Oh, my goodness.
Always listen
and
to
her,
the wife.
And her name is Stacy.
Oh, my goodness.
Stacy, you have, that is Andrew's wife's name, so... Pretty wild that you said take her to the beach. It's like you heard it from two Stacys. All right, 0-1, the pitch. Out to right. Heberle gets it down, and there's a base hit. Kinneberg stops at second, and some two-out traffic on the base paths here for the Stateliners. Here comes Jake Cooper with a chance to score the first run of the ball game for Bristol. So back to this whole beach thing, like... Like, we're, like, Andrew and I, we're going to the beach, like, in 2 weeks.
Taking the whole family.
That's true. Happy wife, happy life.
Yes.
All right, well. we'll go to the beach this time and maybe Grand Canyon down the road. Cooper, now he lines one into left. Kinneberg touches third. Here he comes. The throw from Mallory Jr. is late. And the Stateliners are on the board. That's Kinneberg reaching on an error and two consecutive hits, and Jake Cooper is hot at the plate right now.
Jake Cooper was able to thread that between two diving sock puppets.
You think they got dirty?
Gonna have to wash those
socks. Need to go to the washing machine? Yeah. All right, 3-1. Here comes Horacio Ramirez. Now, this is your chance to fanboy a little bit. I told you that a former Brave was the pitching coach for the
Me midweek. I did. Gave me some trivia.
I said, "Have you ever heard of Horacio Ramirez?" And you said, "Who?" And I said, "We just watched the Braves on TBS our entire lives growing up, and you don't remember who Horacio Ramirez is?"
I did not.
Well, we were saying a little bit yesterday about Horacio's MLB career. What can you tell us about it?
Well, he was drafted by the Atlanta Braves in 1997 in the fifth round. He played 8 seasons in the major leagues, pitched for the Braves, Mariners, Kansas City Royals, and the Chicago White Sox and the Angels. So I think he's one that you want to listen to when he comes out and dishes out some advice.
I think he might know a little bit about pitching. So Heberle stands at second. Cooper stands at first after the RBI single. And here's Easton Ruley. First pitch. Line down the right field line. Fair by Ruley. Here comes Heberle. He's going to score. Now Cooper's coming as trouble in right field by Russell. The throw to third is in time and a collision at third base. Ruley lowered his shoulder, but the run scored before the tag was applied at third. Cooper comes home, and we are tied at 3. How about that sequence? All right, we got a brand new ball game here heading into the fifth. Folks, stay with us. We've got a good one here for you from Bristol. Thanks for listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
For more than 85 years, Paramount Bristol has been a local landmark and cultural anchor of the Twin Cities. This year, multiple live music events are scheduled, including the Gatlin Brothers, Amy Grant, and Trace Adkins. Visit ParamountBristol.org for more information and tickets. Thanks to Paramount Bristol for being a Stateliner sponsor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
She Can STEM, a message brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
We are all knotted up at 3 through 4 innings, and we were wanting that Bristol lineup to get rolling, and they certainly did. So, 3-3 ball game, top of the fifth. Remember, folks, this is just a 7-inning game. Because on Sundays, that's all they play, sort of to give their arms a break. So Davis, his first pitch to Sam Gates, misses inside 1-0.
Speaking of that, I'm a little surprised we're still seeing the starting pitchers out.
Hold on. There's the 1-0 to Gates downstairs. They've started to stretch him a little bit since that first week. When you saw him, it was the third and fourth games of the year, and pitchers were just throwing a few innings at a time. We're starting to see these arms regularly now that they're built up. Go 4-5, and I think maybe even by the end of the year, you get into some meaningful games for championship positioning and things like that. You could potentially see an arm go 6 innings, even. So this is becoming the norm, at least in week 2 of the season. 3-0 the count to Sam Gates, who grounded out to the second baseman on a nice sliding catch made by Buchanan last time up. 3-0 and a 4-pitch walk. It's at least the second inning we've seen for Davis, who's thrown a 4-pitch walk to start. And you were talking about getting a new arm out there. Bill Kenneberg has seen enough. He's going to go to a new arm. So we're going to take another break, and we will get the new pitcher for you and have some info on him. As Cade Davis exits after 4 innings, we're tied here in the top of the fourth. We'll be right back with more Bristol State Liners Baseball on the State Liners Baseball Network.
At the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, we're preserving the past and paving the way to the future. Where generations teach each other. Where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune. Where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together. Where you can really get into the music. At the Birthplace of Country Music, discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
All right, back here in the top of the fifth, we only saw one batter faced by Kay Davis, and it was Sam Gates. And Gates is the number nine hitter. So on the four-pitch walk, here comes the top of the order again for the Sock Puppets. Davis had already seen the entire lineup twice, and that might have prompted the move here to Shane O'Neill. O'Neill, a right-handed pitcher from Lehigh University, working to get you some statistics on his season thus far. And he's only, he's 1-0. He's appeared in three games. His ERA sits at 7.94. 5.2 innings, 8 hits, 6 runs, 7 strikeouts, and 2 walks. And had a great year at Lehigh. 3.81 ERA across 26 innings. Even earned the Patriot League Rookie of the Week honors in early May of this year. This is first season at Lehigh University. So he'll come on here, the righty, and face Landon Russell. First pitch misses up high. Probably my favorite note about O'Neill as he checks on the runner safe at first is his nickname, Shaq. You get it?
I do.
Shane O'Neill, Shaq O'Neill. 1-0. Inside, 2-0. Now, we won't call him Shaq on here, but I've always kind of dreamed to broadcast something with Shaq O'Neill in it. 2-0, O'Neill checks on the runner, safe again. Russell is 1-for-2 today. He struck out in the first and then singled and scored in the third. 2-0. That one out of play. Chance to catch up on our messages here. The Crawfords and, oh, yes. So, Allie, I believe it's Eason is how I'm pronouncing that. If I'm wrong, please tell me. But the manager, Anthony Eason, for the Sock Puppets, it is his wife and Kobe Croft's mom. So, cheering on our two guys and the rest of the Sock Puppets. As a 2-1, misses off the plate. Says, also wishing my husband and the rest of the Sock Puppet staff a happy Father's Day. And thank you for the kind comments, Allie. We appreciate you listening. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there today. 3-1. Ground ball into the Stateliner dugout. And we're full. The Crawfords in California also sent us a message saying, go Sock Puppets. And, of course, Carson's in the lineup tonight. Said, we love number 21. 3-2. There's ball four. So consecutive walks to start the fifth. Gates up to second, Russell at first, and here's the dangerous Kenny Mallory Jr. Mallory Jr., one of the top bats in the Appy League thus far this season. He's second in the league in hits, tied for third in the league in runs, and he's hitting 471.
Just 471?
Just 471, you know. Today, he's 0-for-2. So, you might say he's due. The pitch from O'Neill. Hit out to left. And Austin has trouble with it. Here comes Gates. He'll score easily. The throw in bobbled by Arias, but it won't matter. As it's now 4-3, Sock Puppets. After the RBI, we'll see if they call that a single. Mallory ended up at second base. Let's see what they call that. But either way, it's going to be an RBI as Gates comes in to score to make it 4-3. Let's see if Stevie gave that a single or a double over there across from us. All right, Kobe Croft. We just mentioned his name. His mom's watching from California. Big spot for him here. Two on, none out here in the fifth. First pitch, strike one from O'Neill. They're going to call it a single, looks like. And an error. Yep, single and an error. So 0-1 to Croft. That one's off the plate. One ball, one strike. So let me get updated here. Mallory singles, reaches second on an E8. I would assume Gates would have scored on the single. Russell goes to third on the single. Okay. 1-1. Off the plate. Croft lays off. That rhymed. Didn't even mean to do it. All right, so Croft from USC Upstate. 2-1. Swing and a miss. Now, I was wondering, I saw that Kobe played two seasons at Reedley College, a community college in California. I'm pretty sure, you can check me on this, that the manager, Anthony, is the head coach at Reedley College. So it makes total sense now that we're connecting all the dots. See, those are the things you couldn't ever get unless you had these message threads. 2-2. Off the plate, and we're full.
But that's USC, South Carolina.
That is, believe it or not. So they're from California, played Community College of California, attended Clovis High School in California. But USC Upstate is in South Carolina, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just likes USC, I guess. 3-2.
Which USC?
Another walk. Well, this one's South Carolina.
Okay.
But, all right, now they're loaded with no outs, and this has not been a great start here for in the fifth inning. I told you this when we did the game together back the home opener last week or so. The game just seems to change every time a new pitcher comes in. It's not anything to do with their ability. They're all extremely talented. It's just a change. First pitch from O'Neill, called a strike. It's just like a new arm on either side. Just, it's like you're watching a new baseball game. Everything resets. Yeah. So bases loaded, no outs. Sock Puppets lead at 4-3, top of the fifth. Troy McGirt, the hitter. 0-1 from O'Neill, misses outside. O'Neill made 17 appearances for Lehigh this year, had a start. 26 innings, 18 strikeouts. Finished 3-1. Here's a ground ball to third. Will Kinneberg come home with it? Nope, he'll go to first. So his momentum was taking him to first. Probably would have been a tough play to go home. What are your thoughts on the play?
Well, you know, I've played a little third base in Church League softball, but as a lefty, I'm all mixed up on. But like you said, his momentum was carrying him towards first. That would be a tough throw to go behind your body and get your whole body rotated to go home.
So Russell comes in to score on the RBI ground out by McGirt, and it's 5-3. Infield's come in for Bristol, and the first pitch to Crawford, called strike one. Crawford 0-for-2, a strikeout and a ground out. Mallory up to third on the ground out, and Croft stands at second. The 0-1. Good breaking ball as it was fouled off the catcher's mitt, and Crawford behind 0-2. Quick chance to catch up on our messages here. We said earlier, Stacy from Kentucky said, happy wife, happy life. Looks like you're going to the beach, buddy.
I think so.
And then Drew and Vicky Nolan, you guys have been watching us pretty much every night. Say hello again and says, a piece of advice, just don't take her to Florida in the next 2 weeks because of a potential storm.
But after that,
that's a possibility.
They're saying Florida.
Yeah, so. Maybe so. 0-2, fouled off.
Sounds like no Grand Canyon for me this year.
Look, You gotta make, like, I know you like to plan. Go like a 5-10-year plan.
I'm going PowerPoint.
Oh, dude. Just like couples retreat, right?
Yes.
Gotta get the PowerPoint up. Eventually, she'll want to go. Trust me. 0-2. Fouled off into the netting. I was telling, you know, we've got a pitcher on the roster here, Aubrey Smith. He pitched last night and was actually awarded the victory for the State Liners. He's from Wilmington. He pitches at UNC Wilmington, and I was bragging on Wilmington every time he comes out of the game. That's our favorite beach spot.
Don't let our secret out.
0-2, breaking ball, and down on strikes is Carson Crawford. That's a big out there for O'Neill with two on, and now two outs. Here comes Evan Applewick.
Yeah, that opens up being able to go to first base now and end the inning on a on a ball the infield.
Infield can back up to regular depth. So big strikeout there for Shaq. I just wanted to say it once. Shane O'Neill, the pitcher, on the mound for Bristol. Giving up two in the inning. 5-3 sock puppets trying to limit the damage here in the fifth. Here's the pitch. Breaking ball. Strike one. Of course, Applewick hit the two-run shot out to right field in his first opportunity today. Followed that up with a fly ball to right. Big lead at third by Mallory Jr. O'Neill, breaking ball, hit deep to center, but Austin is tracking it. Settles and squeezes for out number three. So the Sock Puppets load the bases to start the inning. They grab two runs, but nice job by O'Neill to sort of limit the damage here in the fifth. The Sock Puppets lead at 5-3, and the State Liners have some more work to do when we return for the bottom of the fifth here on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown, where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Bottom of the fifth, 5-3, Sock Puppets. Howell Polk back out on the rubber for the bottom of inning number five. And the State Liners, they grabbed three runs in the bottom of the fourth to tie it up at three, but the Sock Puppets were not content. They added a few more runs. And shockingly, only one hit in the top of the fifth inning for the Sock Puppets. They end up with two runs. There was a walk, another walk, a single, and another walk. That's how you. That's not how you want to start an inning.
No balks this go around, though.
No balks. There was a balk last time. So, all right. Here's the top of the order. Austin, there's another foul ball off the leg. Must be something in the water. Could have something to do with just the way Polk is pitching, keeping it down low in the zone, perhaps. Austin today is 0-2. This worked last inning for Mallory Jr. He's due for a hit. 0-1, misses outside. Austin had one of the big hits in the ballgame last night, a 2-RBI single in the fifth. No one on in front of him here. And there's a rip to right field. Boy, am I good at this. Austin singles to right, and here come the State Liners.
I looked over. You already had that written down in the book in pen, so it was bound to happen.
That's right. So a single for Austin. He stands at first. Look, I'm just working on the law of averages, man. You hit 333 and you don't get on in your first two attempts, you're probably going to get on this time, and it worked. Here's Seth Buchanan. He's 0-1 with a walk. First pitch called strike one.
See, you're doing math, playing it smart. I just look for patterns and hope, and I just hope that they continue.
Yeah, I hear you.
There's no science behind mine.
I hear you. Throw over to check on Austin. Polk has already picked off a runner in this ball game, so Austin's got to be careful over there. We told you he's got some speed, so he's got three stolen bases on the season. O-1. Buchanan pops it up, and it's going to get into the seats. Boom, off the stands.
Nothing like the sound of a baseball hitting the aluminum
metal bleachers.
Metal bleachers, yeah.
Young fans running after the baseball. They're going to give it to him. Oh, it went down underneath. All right, we're watching this chase here. A couple young fans. Can they run it down?
Oh, they've tracked it
down.
They
got it. It's a souvenir. 0-2. And a quick pickoff throw. Close play at first, but Austin back in safely.
McGirt tried to do a little showboat tag again and sell it.
He knows what he's doing over there. One on, none out. Stateliners trail by two here in the bottom of the fifth. Howell Polk brings the 0-2. Buchanan chops one to third. A chance for Applewick. He'll go to second for one, but Buchanan beat the throw at first. Austin brought up a lot of dirt out there at second when he slid in. This infield's a little dry.
Like you said earlier, it is just about one of the hottest days
it
we've
really
seen
is.
In Bristol so far. They watered the field earlier, but that dust is still lingering around.
So Buchanan reaches first on the fielder's choice. Austin is the first out as he's forced out at second base. And here's Dalton Bargo. Here's another chance over to first. Did they pick Buchanan off? No. McGirt has some quick hands. He's over there looking like Javier Baez with his tags. He's getting the tag down quickly, but Buchanan in there safely. Bargo's 0 for 2. He's due for a hit. First pitch misses outside, 1-0.
Starting to sound a little bit like Oprah Winfrey, like, he's due for a hit.
You
he's
get a
due
hit.
For it.
You get a hit. You get a hit. If only it worked that way. It'd be like playing MLB The Show or something.
When your character caught on fire. And
oh, yeah. What game was that? That was NBA Jam or something?
Well, that was Xbox before they had the rights to MLB.
All right. Looks like we've seen this before. It looked like the pitcher, Polk, maybe went to his mouth. Yep. And that was a warning. So they throw – anytime you go to your mouth there, I guess, in the pitching circle, the mound, they throw the ball out to make sure you didn't do anything, and they make you pitch with a brand new one. So, all right. 1-0. Bargo the hitter. Runner going. Swing and a miss. The throw down is short. Buchanan slides in behind the tag, and he's safe at second.
Now, you may not know, is there a rule that if you go to the mouth, you have to go to the jersey next? Or is it if you go mouth directly into glove?
I don't think you can go to the mouth while you're in the dirt. That would be, and I'm not, don't quote me on that 100%.
See, I've seen him go a couple times, but he goes to the pants directly after.
Maybe. So Buchanan at second after the stolen base, an RBI chance here for Bargo. 1-1. Outside ball two. A walk wouldn't be the worst thing in the world here for Bargo. Get the tying run on base. If you're just joining us, folks, this Sunday afternoon baseball, only a 7-inning game. So think bottom of the seventh, really, even though we're bottom of the fifth. Two balls and a strike. The pitch to Bargo. Breaking ball. Trying to catch the outer corner, but couldn't get it. 3-1 the count. Nick Strong awaits on deck. And there is ball four to Bargo. So two runners on base. And this feels like an opportunity here for Bristol. We've seen Burlington getting an arm loose down the right field line. Not quite sure who that is, but we'll keep an eye on it. Can you see the number down there? 25?
25.
Who you got?
David.
Come on, that's the one.
Yeah.
Boivet. David Boivet.
Thank you.
Yeah, tough pronunciation there. Of course you would get that one right.
I took Spanish in high school, so French was not.
First pitch to Nick Strong, called strike one. So we'll see how much longer Polk will last here on the mound. Two on, one out. Stateliners trail by two. The potential tying run stands at first base. The 0-1 skips low, throw down to first, not in time. The catcher seemed to be shaken up a bit, maybe, Walker, as it skipped up and hit him Bargo had a big secondary lead at first. They threw down to try to pick him off, but the first baseman, McGirt, despite his tagging skills, couldn't tag him from where he was standing. So 1-1 the count to Nick Strong. Polk takes a look at Buchanan and another. Here's a pitch. Breaking ball hit towards third. It's a fair ball. The throw across is in time. I'm kind of surprised they called that fair. It was a close play over there, but nice job by Applewick fielding it in foul ground to make the strong throw. Two outs, but the runners move up 90 feet.
That's one of the longest throws you'll see in baseball across the diamond there for a third baseman to track one down into foul territory behind the base and still be able to turn the body and get that throw across.
And that's a much longer throw than you think it is. It's sort of a deceptively long throw. Of course, you see, the big throws from the outfield home to try to nail a runner or something like that, of course. But nice play by Applewick. Here's Nick Arias. First pitch called a strike. Real big chance here for Arias. A base hit could tie the ball game. Arias reached on a fielder's choice in the first and grounded out to the shortstop in the fourth. 0-1. Arias up the middle. There it is. Here comes Buchanan. Bargo around third. We are tied. Nicely done, Nick Arias. A two RBI single. And, hey, these two teams are pretty evenly matched. It was just a matter of time before we were tied again. And appropriately played by our PA man, Whoop. There it is. That's going to spell the end of the day for Howell Polk, I believe. So a big hit there from the shortstop, Arias. We're tied at five. And with one out left to grab in the fifth, it's going to be Anthony Easton who's going to make a change. And we think we know who the pitcher is. What? Different guy?
I believe so.
All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have it all sorted out for you. 5-5, bottom five. Stateliners tie it up. We'll be right back with more Stateliners baseball on the Stateliners Baseball Network.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire-roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Browns for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
All right, here we go. Bottom of the fifth, tie ball game, 5-5. David Boivet is the pitcher for Duke. For the Sock Puppets. First pitch misses low to Kinneberg. We've had the pronunciation come in a couple different ways here, so we're if the family of David is listening, we'd love to get a clarification from you on that last name. Throw over to first, not in time. David just joined the roster here for the Sock Puppets here recently. Did not see game action in 2022 as another throw over to first. Only threw a third of an inning for Duke this year. His dad, Dave, was a member of the Georgia Tech basketball team a few years back, so athlete bloodlines. 1-0. There's a strike to Kinneberg. Now, Kinneberg has reached base in both of his tries today. He grounded to the third baseman, Applewick, and it was a high throw. That was called an error. Then hit another grounder to third. It was a low throw, but they call that one a single. One. Kinneberg lifts one towards right. Going out is Blowers, but it'll be Russell who squeezes it for out number three. So the State Liners get a little action in the bottom of the fifth, tie it up at five, and just two innings to go, folks. This one's still in doubt. Stay with us. We'll have the remainder for you here on the State Liners Baseball Network.
Located in the highlands of Virginia, Emory and Henry College has devoted itself since 1836 to the belief that education can have a transformative effect on an individual, a place, and ultimately the wider world. The college is consistently ranked among the nation's best private liberal arts institutions, and their faculty have earned more state and national awards than any other college in Virginia. Learn more at www.ehc.edu, and thanks to Emory and Henry for being a Stateliner sponsor.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.
All right, welcome back. Top of the sixth. David Boisvert gets the final out there on the flyout by Kinneberg. But we are tied. State Liners already have two rallies in them thus far. They've trailed a couple times and have been able to tie it up. See what comes up here in the sixth. Shane O'Neill back out there for the top of the sixth inning. And it's Tommy Walker, 7-8-9, scheduled to hit for Burlington. First pitch misses low, ball one. Pitch from O'Neill off the plate. 2-0. Pretty evenly played game. 5 runs, 4 hits, 1 error for Burlington. 5 runs, 7 hits, 1 error for Bristol. 2-0 fouled off, out of play. Maybe a souvenir if it didn't go over the fence there. What do you think?
Mine was at a weird angle. May have been up there at the 27-out plaque.
Okay. Maybe so. 2 balls, 1 strike. Breaking ball across the heart of the plate. It's 2-2. Walker today, a ground out in the second and a walk in the fourth. The pitch from O'Neill. Tried to get him to chase, but he lays off, and we're full. Last chance, folks, getting late here. Send us a message, 276-285-8780. Here's a payoff. Strike three called by Mark D'Amelio behind the plate. Walker drops his bat, and he'll have to walk her back to the dugout as there's one out here in the sixth.
There it is. You talk about me getting to think about it, but you got in on the...
I've been waiting to use that. I've always thought Walker is such a great baseball name. Like, if your last name's Walker, you better be trying to play baseball. A lot of famous Walkers. First pitch, swing and a miss on a pitch in the dirt by Blowers.
Which Walkers are you thinking of?
I was thinking of, like, Larry Walker.
Okay.
Neil Walker, I believe, was a player for the Pirates.
Texas Walker Ranger.
0-1. I thought it was Walker, Texas Ranger.
It is.
0-2 to Blowers. I see what you were trying to do.
Yeah. Then.
Anyways.
Get it towards the last name.
0-2 to Blowers. Strike three called. Shane O'Neill is feeling it. I thought about making like a Flowers joke for Blowers, but I didn't want to lay it on too thick.
No.
So here's Sam Gates with two outs in the sixth. First pitch called strike one. Shane O'Neill have an inning. Two strikeouts thus far and two quick outs here in the sixth. 0-1 is now 0-2. I was about to say, are we looking at immaculate inning here? But he went 3-2 on the first batter. So, can he strike out the side? How about it? Three called strikeouts for Shane O'Neill. Shack attack. Three batters come to the plate. Three batters go down looking. And the Stateliners will look to take their first lead of the ball game when we come back for the bottom of the sixth. Folks, as my three-year-old would say here on Father's Day, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back on the Stateliners Baseball Network. All right, we lied. We're staying here for the seventh inning stretch. Sing with us.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back or it's root, root, root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. For it's one, two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
All right, we deep faked you there. I didn't know they were going to do the seventh inning stretch in the sixth inning of a seventh inning game. I would think it would have been the fifth inning, but anyways, we're just going to hang out here and not go to ad break and let you listen in to the seventh inning stretch here from Bristol. All right, quick break. We're back here for the bottom of the sixth. Here's Aiden Heberle. First pitch he sees out towards right center field. That's going to get down for a hit. Heberle around first. A big turn. He's going to try for second, and he will waltz into second base. And he represents the go-ahead run here in the sixth. That's one way to start the inning.
That is. I don't know if you noticed it. Looking out through the outfield, I guess there was a groundhog behind the fence.
No.
And it scared it up the hill.
No way.
As that ball bounced against the chain link out there.
So Heberle, a first pitch double out to the right center field gap. And here's Jake Cooper. And he has been on a heater lately. A chance here to give the Stateliners a lead for the first time in the ball game. We'll check on the runner. They'll throw out the second. Heberle better stay on the bag there.
Goes down into almost a Tebow stance.
Oh, it's a Tebowing. Yeah, Tebowing.
As long as nobody's planking, I think we're good.
Oh, man. Let's not bring that back, huh? Jake Cooper, one for two. Oh, skips past the catcher. Heberle up to third. Things are looking quite well here for the Liners in the sixth. The potential go-ahead run stands at third. No outs. Jake Cooper, the hitter. Easton Rooley awaits on deck. You're probably not aware of this, but when these two teams played over in Burlington, Bristol led 8-2 in the ninth. Burlington scored six to make it 8-8. And we got a balk! If this were the seventh, that'd been a balk-off! So Heberle comes in to score. The Liners lead it 6-5, and we've seen just about everything tonight. What a trip around the bases for Heberle. So 6-5 is our score, and the Stateliners lead it for the first time today. 1-0 to Cooper. Swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Pitch to Cooper, misses outside. It's 2-1. And there's a strike. It's 2-2. Two balls and two strikes. The pitch off the plate, and we're full. So 6-5, Stateliners lead it here in the bottom of the sixth. Again, Bristol only plays Burlington four times on the year, the 3-2. Oh, called strike three. Cooper had tossed his bat aside and was ready to go down to first. But now one out here in the sixth. I think Mark D'Amelio is really liking that that punch out sign. It's almost like starting the lawnmower back here behind home plate. Actually, it looked like me trying to start that pressure washer I was texting you about yesterday. I never did get that thing going. Here's Easton Ruley. First pitch upstairs, ball one. Ruley had a big double in the fourth, played at two runs. And now a chance here to add on to the Stateliner lead. That's a strike call in the dirt, look like, as the catcher, Walker, had some trouble with it.
I'm going to make my last plead here.
Oh, boy.
Ruley went to the university, or goes to the University of Utah. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody that wants me to go to the Grand Canyon and can give me a good reason, I'm still waiting on that. But
look, I'm sure people would love for you to go to the Grand Canyon, but no one is going to go on record and tell you to go against your wife. 1-1, strike to Ruley.
That's smart. I am asking them to put it in writing. So,
see, we've got, I don't know if y'all know this, but when you text us, we've got your number. So, they just don't want their, they just don't want blood on their hands. 1-2, fouled off. Oh, I was going to say this earlier, a chance to circle back. If you haven't sent us a message yet, this is your last chance here. We're getting close to the end. 276-285-078, sorry, 8780. 1-2 to Ruley, fly ball out of play. Let me get that number right. 276-285-8780. Again, that's 276-285-8780. We're approaching the seventh inning here, which is the final inning of our contest. So if you've been watching, shoot us a message. 1-2 off the plate. And more and most importantly, introduce yourself and let us know where you are watching from. We filled up, I think, now 19 states across the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. 2-2. That one up high past the glove of Walker, and we're full.
The way that one came off the backstop, it may have been high enough that it cleared the padding back there and
yes,
bounced off the cinder block wall.
Here comes Horacio. So Horacio Ramirez out for a chat with his pitcher. And we've got, ooh, he may be hurting here because the athletic trainer is coming out as well. That's Angela Talaganis. She's going to come out and have a chat here as maybe Boy Vey sort of struggled with something. They're quickly getting an arm loose down the right field line. And, of course, if they have to replace him, and they are. So we get a number down there, 26. Is that what you see? Kind of hard to see from where we sit. All right, so whoever it is will have a chance to really get loose here. We might as well just stay here then. Hey, Sherry Cross. Thank y'all for listening. Crosses are here in the ballpark. Known them for a while. Their son Caleb is on the grounds crew here for the Stateliners. Thank you for the nice comments, and happy Father's Day to Matt as well. Let's see. So, Boy Vey comes out. Ooh, William Gagnon looks like the new pitcher. Let me add that in here. So the pitcher, David Boivet from Duke, on that last pitch sort of tweaked something, and they came out and checked him, and he's going to exit the ball game. And they go with William Gagnon. We'll get you some notes here. Normally we take a break here during pitching changes, but since that one was so sudden, we'll just hang out with you here. Let's see.
Getting to see a little bit behind the curtain here as we flip through some of our notes. And
yes. So William Gagnon, Reedley Junior College. Remember that name has come up already. So a connection with head coach Anthony Eason. Gagnon is 19 years old. Bats left, throws right. He's a right-handed pitcher, freshman.
I thought I was weird.
You're flipped. You're a lefty bat righty.
Mm-hmm.
4.65 ERA. He threw 81 in the third innings. That's a lot of innings, no matter what kind of season you're in. Had 80 strikeouts and 55 walks. A 6-3 overall record out at the junior college. A little harder to find notes on players at junior colleges rather than Division I programs because just the sports information departments at those schools are not quite as available. I want to say hello again to the O'Neills from Morristown. So I'm guessing that is a Shane O'Neill family reference. They say listening from Morristown. Oh, yeah. Morristown, New Jersey.
Okay, I was getting really confused. I was looking at the area code.
Oh, that's a new state for us.
All right.
New Jersey is on the board. 19 states throughout the United States. Interesting fact there for you, O'Neill family. There is a Morristown, Tennessee. What would you say about how far is Morristown from here?
About 45 minutes or so.
You think so? That close?
That depends on if your wife's driving or if I'm driving.
Oh, man. That's pretty good.
Cooper, if you're listening.
She's not. You don't have to explain it.
No.
You don't have to explain it. Although, I know Sherry Cross is listening because she messaged me, and she could potentially relay that. But, hey, it wouldn't be the first time that
your wife's speeding has come up
on
the podcast.
No, definitely not the first, and it won't be the last. So, again, hello to the O'Neills from Morristown, New Jersey.
So does that put us at 20 states?
No, I thought it's 19, I thought. Because it was 17 coming into today. No, it is 20. Yeah. You're right. It was 18 coming into today. We added New Jersey today and Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
So we're up to 20 states. That's 40% of the United States. Someone from a state, from 40% of the states has not only watched but has commented. That's the key.
You get to the percentages. I was going to be like, we're almost to halfway.
Dude,
you took it.
Let me just
to that next level.
Can I brag on myself for a minute?
Yeah, go for it.
When I was in the fourth grade,
you were mathlete, weren't you?
No, it wasn't called mathlete. I won this competition called the Mental Math Bee.
Oh,
it was basically like a spelling bee, but it was math problems, and you could do them in your head. I won the Mental Math Bee at my school and in the region.
I need the pen and paper.
And we're still 3-2 here on Ruley as Boivet exited the at bat in the middle of it. So. Still 3-2 on Ruley. Tough to step in on 3-2 counts like a one-pitch at bat. But anyways, I won that regional mental math bee. I would have gone to state, but there was no state. I was ready to go. 3-2 to Ruley. Ground ball towards second. Blowers down to a knee, throws it, and still gets Ruley. Looked like maybe Blowers slipped out at second base, but somehow recovered. What'd you see?
Yeah, it kind of looked like his cleat got stuck in the dirt as he went to field that and just wasn't able. It almost like he wanted to slide that leg out to be able to turn his body.
Sherry says, Morristown's an hour 15, and you're speeding if you're going in 45 minutes.
Well, that's why I said if Cooper was driving.
Well, yeah, there you go. First pitch to Jordan Austin. Misses the zone. It's 1-0.
I just know that's one of the stops on the way to Knoxville when we head down that way.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the mental checkpoints.
Oh, yeah. 1-0, the pitch. Strike one to Austin. Austin's 1-for-3, singled in his last at-bat. Remember last time I told you he was due for a hit, and he punched one out to right field. I'm not going to go that far yet. 1-1 on the corner. Gagnon looking good here on the mound for the Sock Puppets, but the State Liners lead it 6-5 in the bottom of the sixth. The 1-2. Breaking ball downstairs. So two balls, two strikes, two outs. Jordan Austin, the hitter. Here's a pitch, and we're full. Thanks for tuning in here on Father's Day. As Gagnon gets a new baseball. I've said it a few times, but reminder, only seven-inning contest today, so we're almost to the finish line. 3-2. Austin bloops one out towards short. Crawford has trouble with it. I would assume that'd be an infield single. That would have been an incredible play, and right away they rule that a single. So that's two singles for Austin in the ballgame. He's now 2-for-4, and he's boosting that average up even higher. So here's Seth Buchanan with two outs and a runner at first. Buchanan reached in the fifth on a fielder's choice and ended up scoring a run. Breaking ball to Buchanan, strike one. Buchanan awaiting the 0-1, the pitch. Big swing and a miss. 0-2. Again, we know the Buchanans are listening on their way back from Omaha. We figured you guys flew out to Omaha. You drove? That's a long drive. So 0-2. And a chopper towards second. Tough play behind the bag. Buchanan. Oh, they'll say he beat it out down the first base line. That was a tough play for Blowers to make. That's going to be another infield single. So back-to-back hits as Austin at second base, now Buchanan at first. You know the State Liners would love to add a run here. Knowing that Sock Puppets lineup is coming up in the top of the seventh. I would expect we'll see a new arm for the State Liners in the top of the seventh, as it looks like Anthony Gonzalez is getting warmed up down the left field line. Two on, two outs, and Dalton Bargo takes his place in the left-handed batter's box. 0-for-2 with a walk today. First pitch misses low, and it's blocked by Walker. Runners stay at bay. The count to Dalton Bargo. William Gagnon, the pitcher, the third of the day for Burlington. Good fastball, but misses inside. 2-0. Two balls, no strikes. State Liners looking for an insurance run. The pitch misses low, skips away from Walker. Now Austin and Buchanan move up 90 feet. I'll tell you what, a base hit here from Bargo. A chance to score two runs here to make it 8-5. How much better would you be feeling going into the last inning? Three-run lead versus one-run lead.
Anytime you can get a Burke Powers and Hardy insurance run across the
board. He's a company guy. He's a company guy. 3-0. Here's a strike to Bargo. Thank you, Burke Powers and Hardy Insurance. You can reach them at 423-764-2112. Offices at 1236 Volunteer Parkway in Bristol, Tennessee. Or visit them on the web, bphagency.com. I read that right off the sign. Three balls and one strike. The pitch to Bargo. Ball four. Three straight State Liners have reached here in the sixth. and they're loaded for Nick Strong. Don't do it.
You're looking for a strong at bat here.
Look for a strong approach here from Nick Strong. Poor guy. He's probably gotten that his entire life.
Yeah, but there's worse names. I mean, Strong.
I mean, the only thing he could have done that would be more appropriate would be like weightlifting or something.
It's a positive connotation.
Two outs. Base is loaded. Here's Nick Strong. First pitch bounces away from the catcher, Walker. And there's the Burke Powers and Hardy Insurance run. Jordan Austin scampers home. It's 7-5. They're loving this free publicity.
Well, they're technically a sponsor, so it's...
Yeah, but they didn't pay for insurance reads.
Mm.
Look, if you are an insurance company, I guess I could have said Shelter Insurance, you know, the little baseball team that was out on the field earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Gave them some love earlier as well. But any insurance company, you should be sponsoring that insurance run thing. It really would bring you some good publicity. All right, 1-0 to Strong, and it's up high. 2-0.
And there's just things that make sense. There's the credit one to go in NASCAR, the insurance run for baseball.
Yep.
There's just certain partnerships that make sense.
The Altel called the bullpen. Remember that one?
Yeah. I started out at Altel.
2-0. Strong fouls it off. Me too. That's why we both have
502 numbers.
Well, I wasn't going to give them the first three digits of our phone numbers, but
they would have to be wizards to guess the last.
Oh. Yes, we have the first three digits to our phone numbers are the exact same, and we got them from Altel, the Ryan Newman sponsor from back in the day.
Yes.
How about that NASCAR pool? 2-1 to Strong. Up and in, 3-1.
You know, I'm proud of you for bringing out a NASCAR reference, but also for getting me to work on Father's Day. This is the first year that NHRA at the Speedway has not been on Father's Day, and I look forward to having a Sunday off, and you asked me to come be a color guy. So.
This is not work. This is fun. 3-1. Strong to right. And settling under it is Russell. Two runs in the inning for the Stateliners. They come on a balk and a wild pitch. So the Stateliners unconventionally take the lead 7-5 in the bottom of the sixth. And, folks, stay with us. Top of the seventh. And, again, just as a reminder, this is the last inning, guys. Just a seven-inning game tonight, so the finish is coming up shortly. Stay with us for the ending here on the Stateliners Baseball Network.
Need to pick up a few things after the game? Visit one of five Food City Bristol locations or shop online and get same-day delivery through Instacart. From frozen food, produce, or snacks, Food City is your one-stop shop for all your food needs. Thanks to Food City for being a Stateliner sponsor.
Hi everyone, Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when there are parched or windy conditions out there, you gotta be extra careful with things like burning yard waste. After all, wildfires can start anywhere, even in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Well, here we go, folks. Chris Mangrum, Andrew Barker on the call with you here for the Stateliners Baseball Network. Top of the seventh, and this is the final inning here tonight. And it's just a seven-inning game on Sundays, so a quick one. We've only played about two hours, so pretty well-paced game for a 7-5 ball game. But the Stateliners will go to the bullpen, and it's Anthony Gonzalez. Gonzalez, another pitcher from Lehigh. So a little bit of Lehigh love here tonight on Father's Day. Gonzalez, 20 years old, a righty, 6'2", 240. Only an inning and two-thirds this season for Lehigh. He pitched that in one game against Villanova. Allowed one run on one hit. And so Gonzalez here looking to close it out for the Stateliners in what would be a sweep of the series here at home. We'll get you some numbers here for Gonzalez. He's probably been the most effective pitcher for the State Liners this season. He's 1-0. This is his fourth appearance. A 1.35 ERA, 6 2/3 innings, 9 strikeouts to 2 walks, and only 1 run. So they go to their best, at least their pitcher with the best ERA, out of their bullpen. So they're trying to shut this down and get a sweep of the sock puppets. First pitch. This one hit high in the sky towards right field. Heberle ranging over into the gap, staring up in the night sky, and puts it away. One out. That was Landon Russell, the leadoff hitter. Here's Kenny Mallory Jr., exactly who Burlington wants to see at the plate, with Croft on deck. Gonzalez brings it off the plate outside, ball one. You know, normally when I'm dealing with two socks at home, I typically end up losing one and I can't match them. So for Bristol to put up with both socks in one weekend would be quite the achievement, don't you think? 1-0 called strike one.
I don't even know what to say to that one. You got me on there. You got me.
It was going around the back of my brain. I was like, how am I going to do this? 1-1. Breaking ball. Mallory crushes it to right field. Heberle, a leaping catch by the wall. Appalachian Plastics, Inc. Your sign just got run into in right field.
Dun-dun-dun.
Thank you. That was a web gem by Heberle out there looking like Ronald Acuna Jr. ranging in right field. Two up, two down, and the sock puppets are down to their final out. It's Kobe Croft. Gonzalez looking for the save. First pitch misses outside, 1-0. Croft 1-for-2 with a single. Big cut on a fastball up high, and it's 1-1. Ball and a strike. Gonzalez will step off and take a breather here. Get his signal once again. Here's a pitch from Gonzalez. Breaking ball. Strike two. Burlington down to their final strike. Again, we said these two teams will only play 4 times this year, all happening within about a week span. Bristol currently leads the season series 2-1. A win here would clinch the series 3-1 on the young season for Bristol. The 1-2 nearly hit Croft in the batter's box. I'm sure there's some guys in the Burlington dugout saying, wear it, wear it. They need to get one on here before they have a chance to tie it up. 2 balls and 2 strikes. Gonzalez trying to shut the door for Bristol for back-to-back wins. Hit out to right, Heberle chasing, but he's not going to get this one as it's down in the gap. Croft will advance to second, and there's a double down to their last strike for the sock puppets, and Troy McGirt will come to the plate representing, oh, they've made a change, excuse me. We've got a pinch hitter here. It's going to be number 35, Ryan McChrystal. So we're going to go ahead and make that change. We saw him in last night's game, and boy, did he crush a ball last night. Looking back at McChrystal's evening yesterday, he struck out in his first 2 appearances, only went 1-for-5, but he had a huge double, a 2-RBI double in the 7th inning. I believe that tied the game at the time. So this is one of the better hitters on this Burlington roster, McChrystal from East Carolina. Second year with the Burlington Sock Puppets, was an all-star in the Appy League last year. Was player of the month in July last year in the Appy League after he hit .410, 3 homers, and 31 RBI. This year at East Carolina, hit .232 with 19 hits, a homer, 13 RBI. He's actually According to D1 Baseball, the number 84 overall prospect in the 2024 MLB draft, so next summer's MLB draft.
All right, he's got my vote to be the pinch hitter. I don't know who else you put in. You've said enough.
You've said enough, absolutely. If you look at his bio here on East Carolina's website, you'd have to spend about 5 minutes reading all of his accomplishments. So here we go, big-time matchup. First pitch, misses low. McChrystal representing the tying run in the batter's box. Carson Crawford is on deck for Burlington, hoping he gets a chance to hit. The 1-0 to McChrystal. Strike one. Power on power here. Gonzalez looking to finish it out here for a two-game sweep of the Sock Puppets. 1-1. There's strike two as it just clipped the corner. And once again, Burlington down to their final strike. Gonzalez, the 1-2. Misses low. Nice block by Bargo. He'll toss the ball aside, ask for a new baseball, and it's 2-2. Brandon Decker shut the door last night for Bristol. Tonight, Anthony Gonzalez trying to earn a save himself. The pitch, McChrystal fouls it straight back. Hey, do me a favor. Check up on that schedule right there and tell me what the score of the game was last night.
7-5.
7-5 Bristol. Well, here we are again. Deja vu. Is that going to be the final score tonight? 2-2. Breaking ball. Just got a piece of it. McChrystal just waded back. Oh, they've called a balk. So now that's going to be Croft who advances to third on the balk. I mean, it doesn't really matter because his run means nothing at this point, really.
Did you see which umpire was it that
the
signaled?
The field umpire is what it looked like.
So it's
me.
Every time that she's been over there that she's seen something that she's calling.
It wasn't an intentional balk. What if McChrystal would have swung and missed and then the balk kept the game alive? Gonzalez steps off. How many balks have we had in the game? Three? 2-2 from Gonzalez. McChrystal fouls it off his foot. I think it was last night I was talking about how oftentimes players that are in these deep at-bats where they got two strikes and they just keep fouling off pitch after pitch, it's just a matter of time before they find a gap somewhere. So we'll see if McChrystal's able to continue the trend. The pinch hitter hitting 400 this year for Burlington. Gonzalez trying to slam the door. The 2-2. She called another balk. I thought she did. The pitch, I don't even know what the pitch was. I mean, since it was a balk, there is no pitch. I thought I heard her say balk, so that's why I reacted the way I did. So, runner comes in to score. That's Croft. Back-to-back balks. I believe the count is 2-1. We're not sure, honestly, with all the balks that have been called. The pitch upstairs. I think it's 3. It's got to be 3-2 with how many he's fouled off, right? Yes. Umpire just said 3-2. All right, little adventure here in the top of the seventh. Here we go. Payoff pitch on the way from Gonzalez. McChrystal towards right, fielded at first by Cooper. The flip is in time, and Bristol holds on to win it. Last night it was 7-5. Tonight it's 7-6. Bristol wins the season series against the Sock Puppets 3-1, and the Stateliners are 7-5. Burlington, with the loss, drops to 7-5 themselves. And the final out, McChrystal grounds out to the first baseman 3-1. And the Stateliners come up with two big wins here at home We're going to take a break, tally up the stats, and we'll have our post-game show coming up right after this. Bristol a winner, 7-6. We'll be right back on the State Liners Baseball Network.
At the Birthplace of Country Music Museum, we're preserving the past and paving the way to the future. Where generations teach each other. Where you can learn from the greats or craft your own tune. Where Southern charm and state-of-the-art come together. Where you can really get into the music. At the Birthplace of Country Music, discover a story of American music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To some, a baby's babbling doesn't mean much, but it does. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Learn more at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life. Talk to your doctor about creating a plan that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Bristol is one community whose heart is a vibrant downtown, where our unique cultural and historical heritage is celebrated. Believe in Bristol is a nonprofit organization who recognizes the role a vital downtown plays in preserving and furthering our community. For more information, visit www.believeinbristol.org. And thanks for being a Stateliner sponsor.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Many of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org, and in 3 minutes, you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Cootie Brown's is a locally owned restaurant offering an eclectic menu and fun atmosphere. Guests enjoy gourmet fire-roasted pizzas, authentic tamales, steaks, salads, and sandwiches. Their Jamaican, New Orleans, Mexican, Italian, and American entrees have been delighting East Tennessee residents since 1999. Visit one of their three locations in Bristol and Johnson City. Thanks to Cootie Brown's for being a Stateliner sponsor.
You are listening to the Bristol Stateliners Baseball Network.
Seven to six, our score. Bristol hangs on despite some theatrics in the top of the seventh. They win the shortened seven-inning contest here on Sunday against the Burlington Sock Puppets. Coming into last night, Bristol had lost four of their last five games, but two wins over the previously first-place Burlington Sock Puppets. That's a good way to start the homestand.
Yeah, it's one of those the manager probably had a conversation with the gentleman last night and said, all right, we got to correct this skid, and sounds like they've responded well to those words.
And how about this? Bristol's now 3-1 at home this year, 4-4 on the road. Hey, that 2-4 stretch was all on the road, so it's tough to win on the road anytime. But they're glad to be back home, and here on Father's Day, they come up with a 7-6 victory over Burlington. They win the season series 3-1. And just a couple big wins here for Bristol, who has a day off tomorrow before a couple games with Greenville. The Flyboys are going to come into town. So quickly, let's go ahead and some initial thoughts about the ball game. Bristol trailed this game at one time 3-0. They tied it up 3-3 in the fourth. Then they trailed it 5-3, came back and tied it again at 5-5, and then came up with two big runs at the end. And that was enough to hold on, despite all the balks and a little bit of everything that we saw here tonight. But Bristol hangs on to win. What'd you see out there on the field by the boys in white tonight?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great response to obviously dropping a few games. They were able to answer, played a pretty clean ball game. You did see a few balks, but overall, I think it was a well played game, a hard fought game. They never hung their head and got down on themselves. They kept looking forward and kept just chipping away at that deficit that they were in, and were able to pull it out.
Let's take a look at the Appy League scoreboard from around the league. One of the best things about the Appy League is every time that one team is playing, every team is playing. So there's always scores going on, unless, of course, there's rainouts. How about some tight games throughout the league tonight? Greenville beats league-leading Danville 6-5 in a big win. We told you Greenville will be here on Tuesday night. Johnson City continues their excellent start to the year. They beat Kingsport 3-2 to advance to a 9-3 record. They have the best record in the Appy League as it stands today. Elizabethton has a small margin of victory against Pulaski 5-3. Elizabethton now 7-5. They're tied with Bristol in the Western Division. And Bluefield, their third win of the year. They're now 3-7. They beat up on Princeton 8-5. And then, of course, here, Bristol beats Burlington 7-6. So coming into tonight, Bristol was two games back of Johnson City. That will remain the case since Johnson City won. Burlington was a game behind Danville. They will remain one game behind Danville after their one-run loss to the Flyboys from Greenville. So there's your look around the Appy League scoreboard and standings. We've kind of already done our game summary and some scoring plays, but a couple key performers tonight for the Stateliners. First of all, on the offensive side for the Stateliners, how about Aiden Heberle, who was 2-for-2 with two runs and a walk, raised his average up to .412. His OPS is .1171. He's just having an excellent year thus far here for Bristol. And we wanted to also give a shout-out to Shane O'Neill, who threw two innings in relief, one hit, one run, two walks, and four strikeouts. A couple of the other numbers for Bristol's pitching staff tonight, Cade Davis, four innings, three hits, four runs, three walks, three strikeouts, and Anthony Gonzalez gets the save, one inning, one hit, one run, and picks up his first save of the year. So those are some of our final statistics. A couple other keys. Jordan Austin had two hits tonight, went 2-for-4 with a run. And the only other player in the lineup that had two hits was the aforementioned Heberle. And that sends us to our Stateliner of the game. And we were talking about it. Get a drum roll, please. Yes. Not that there's like some huge award. We need to get a sponsor for this.
All right.
We'll just pick one off the wall, you know, Stateliner of the game. But tonight we're going to give it to Aiden Heberle. We were chatting about it during the break. We felt like there were two pretty worthy players tonight. But anytime you step to the box four times, well, make it three times, and you don't get out, that gives you a strong case. As Heberle walked in the second inning, then singled in the fourth and scored, and then doubled in the sixth and scored. He probably would have had more had the game not been seven innings. So Aiden Heberle is our Stateliner of the game, the right fielder from Missouri. Is off to a hot start here tonight.
I was championing for O'Neill, but that's kind of like trying to give the Heisman to a defensive player, the player of the game to a relief pitcher.
We've given Stateliner of the game to the two relief pitchers. Yesterday we gave it to Nick Smith, who started the game, and so we're not afraid to give it to a pitcher. We've done it quite a bit, but tonight Heberle was just too good at in the batter's box, and he made quite a few plays out in right field as well. So Aiden Heberle is our Stateliner of the game. If any of you would like to sponsor our next Stateliner of the game, please let us know. Let's look ahead to what's coming up for Bristol now that they're 7-5. They've got tomorrow off. Now, it's not every Monday during the year that is the off day, but in June, no teams play on Mondays, a chance to sort of regroup and get the arms fresh. Two games against Greenville coming up on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We'll have both of those for you here on the Stateliners Baseball Network. Be glad to carry those for you. Both of those will be 7 o'clock first pitch before a three-game road trip for Bristol at Pulaski, at Kingsport, and then a home game next Sunday against Kingsport in another seven-inning contest. That one will kick off at 6 o'clock. So that's the upcoming schedule here for Bristol. Folks, enjoy a day off tomorrow. I'm sure some of the players will enjoy a day off, maybe have some family in town for Father's Day, enjoy some time with some family before getting back at it here at home against Greenville. But, hey, this was your second game calling the State Liners. Any other final thoughts before we sign off?
Looking forward to be back for a few more, hopefully, throughout the season. But I think we're in a pretty good spot. I look forward to seeing what the State Liners can do the rest of this season.
I'll tell you what, last year I was trying to find the notes here before we sign off. 2022, Bristol went 14-39 last season. 14 wins. They now have half of that through 12 games. So on a much better pace this year. Of course, the rosters change every year. It's a different group, a different manager, and all that. They had a lot of roster turnover last year. Their run differential was just brutal last year as well. Only won 5 games at home last year in its entirety. They've already won 3, and we're not even to June the 20th yet. So a much stronger start to the season for Bristol this year, and we're looking forward to seeing what they can do as they try to chase down Johnson City in the West and make something happen here. So good little ball club that we're getting to broadcast this year. Want to say thank you to those that sent us a message on our number throughout the game and throughout the season. We know we've got listeners from all over the United States. And want to say happy Father's Day to all of you out there. Appreciate you spending some of your Father's Day with us. And with that said, as a father myself, I'm going to sign off and spend the rest of my evening with my two boys at home, Mason and Brooks. A little shout-out for them here tonight as we exit the game. Thank you for listening to the State Liners Baseball Network. Bristol, a winner by the score of 7-6. We'll be back on Tuesday against Greenville. Thanks for listening, everybody. See you then.
The Bristol State Liners Baseball Network.